Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Tuesday, the 26th of April. It's just gone 6:30 a.m. I'm Alicia Seckham, coming to you live from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg, standing in for Simon Brown during the course of this very punctuated week. On the show today, Matete Tolare of Rand Merchant Bank weighs in on the dreaded R word that had markets in a tailspin, but that seems to have taken a bit of a backseat for now. Elon Musk and Twitter have struck a $44 billion deal. Craig Anthony of Anbro gives us his take on the potential value unlock we're looking at there. The show brought to you by Standard. Visit standard.com to get in touch with their investment specialist. Standard Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Moving straight into a look at your markets now, we had traders ditching riskier assets left, right and center, of course, as worries about the added strain rising interest rates are going to have on the global economy took hold. But a late night turnaround on Wall Street coming through. We had the S&P moving to highs of the day after falling to 4,200 points. So the S&P 500 up 0.6% by the finish, the Dow gaining 0.7%, and the Nasdaq leading the charge 1.3% to the good. Of course, Twitter and the slew of earnings reports that investors are anticipating today managing to generate some enthusiasm. Investors also keeping an eye out for Q1 GDP numbers out stateside today. Expectations are for an annualized growth rate of 1%, and that following the 6.9% growth that was clocked in the fourth quarter of last year. Asian markets yesterday may have suffered their worst session in over a month yesterday, with Chinese shares back at 2020 lows. But this morning, Shanghai is up close enough to 1%. The Nikkei gaining 0.7%. ASX in Sydney, however, bucking the overall trend, close to 2% down so far. On the commodities corner, some gains coming through. Gold's at $1,902 an ounce, platinum at $932 an ounce, and Brent crude moving to $102.29. a barrel. On the currency front, the rand at 15.66, so a little bit of strength managing to come through from yesterday. When it comes to the local bourse, both the All Share and the Top 40 in the red yesterday, down 3.5% and 3.8% respectively. But with the tone having shifted, what can we be anticipating? Joining us on the line now is Matete Tolare. Of course, he's with RMB. Matete, thanks so much for joining us this morning. So was it a bit easier getting out of bed this morning now that we're seeing bits of green here and there and Elon Musk giving you, I guess, added incentive?
Well, look, I think it's been a cocktail of issues that has obviously seen the rant, capitulate and fall out of bed. If you think about it, we've got into the 1579 levels last night, and it's, if you think about it locally, it's the aftermath of the catastrophic floods that we had that have disrupted the freight transport networks in the port and rail sector. There's been signs of a resurgence of the pandemic with regard to COVID-19. And we've also seen the rolling power cuts that are obviously undermining the economy. So obviously, we've seen the rand plunge to its lowest level since the middle of March. As also, from just across the ocean, there's concerns that China will opt for a stricter and wider lockdown. That's also sapped risk appetite somewhat and obviously sparked rush into safe havens for all the investors. So the local problems honestly couldn't have come at a worse time. The rand is amongst the most sensitive emerging market currencies to higher treasury yields and obviously a hawkish Federal Reserve policy statement. We've already seen the statements coming through last week from Mr. Bullard and Mr. Powell respectively. So we are anticipating quite a massive jump in obviously in interest rates in the US next month. And obviously what we've seen is that year to date, the rand has been the fifth best performing emerging market currency, returning only about 1.1%. And, you know, if you had to factor in the loss this last week, would have been, I think, the third best performing. So it just shows you that obviously it's been quite a volatile time. And obviously there's quite a lot of global recession fears at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Having said that, though, we have seen a little bit of exuberance take hold of global markets. We had U.S. markets closing in the green overnight and Asia taking adopting some of that tone this morning. How much of that global sentiment do you see filtering through to the local bourses' performance this morning, nevertheless?
I think, you know, if anything, there's going to be renewed concerns about the global economy, the impact of rising interest rates. I mean, already when we saw yesterday, Asian markets had suffered their worst session in over a month. Obviously, on the worries about Beijing, that, you know, obviously with the lockdowns there, you know, it's also seen Chinese shares back to 2020 lows, which is quite interesting because this could obviously threaten the country's economy and also the global supply chains, especially in highlight of the geopolitical tension that we're focusing on. But much of the focus is on how fast and how far the Federal Reserve will actually raise U.S. interest rates this year, and whether it will actually, along with other global worries, tip the world economy into recession. I think already investors are fleeing risk assets and they, you know, really worried about their Fed tightening to fight inflation that's actually at more than 40-year highs. You know, this is obviously going to knock the pandemic economic recovery, of course, and obviously dent a lot of companies' bottom line. I mean, already this week, it is packed with one of corporate earnings. Already we've seen almost 180 S&P 500 index firms are due to report. There's big U.S. tech that will be the highlight with Microsoft and Google later today, Facebook tomorrow, Apple and Amazon on Thursday. And also, you know, coupled with economic data releases from the U.S. in terms of growth data, we've got European inflation figures, and also the BOJ policy meeting. So it just shows you that, you know, over and above this, you know, spiking food and gasoline prices, plus the end of key stimulus programs, you know, it's really got investors concerned about how the low-income consumer will be able to spend over the next few months, in highlight of all of these things.
Matete, before I let you go, I've got to ask you, are you recalibrating your trades on or your exposure to the resources sector at all? Because, you know, you've got more than demand waning or that threat filtering through, like you say, supply chain issues that are hindering. You've got production reports out of miners that have been less than stellar.
Yeah, look, I mean, if you just look at just how some of the miners traded yesterday, obviously it was a bloodbath there. But obviously, I think, you know, in retrospect, if you still think about it, there is still demand for coal. The likes of Thungela, they still need to get coal out. There is still a demand for palladium. And obviously, that is something that we know that obviously the situation out in Russia is obviously playing into some of the local miners' hands. So, look, I think it's not all doom and gloom. I think we've seen these pullbacks happen. So I think if anything, you know, it's just a case of just being steadfast and just rethinking and readjusting how we look at things at this point in time.
Matete, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us this morning. Matete Tulare is with Rand Merchant Bank.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Elon Musk found funding for the big ticket item on his wish list. Negotiations began because investors were wooed by the financing details Musk released. And now it's not just talk. Musk and Twitter have struck a $44 billion deal. There have been divergent thoughts on the price tag. You've got active long-term shareholders holding higher price expectations. Short-term minded investors saying Twitter should accept the offer or ask for only a small increase. Craig Anthony of Anbro Capital joining me now with his take. Thanks so much, Craig, for your time this morning, now that the deal needs only shareholder approval, how close in your books is the offer that's been accepted to Twitter's intrinsic value given its growth prospects?
Well, morning, Alicia, to you and your listeners. Thanks for having me. Always happy to be here. You know, Twitter in itself has always been a pretty interesting investment. You know, as a fund manager, we've always considered it to fall in the bucket of a business that's a great idea and an amazing concept, but not necessarily a good investment. And, you know, looking at the performance of the business over time and, you know, the performance of the shares since pretty much IPO, it hasn't really done very much. It's been a bit of a dysfunctional business for many, many years. And I think the ability now for it to go private is probably the right thing, I think, for shareholders in the very short term. Obviously, with what Elon Musk decides to do with it longer term and the opportunity set he sees in it, you know, might mean that shareholders today don't see the, you know, the benefits of it in, say, 5 or 10 years' time, though.
Absolutely. Like you say, you know, the stock market value has lagged rivals, over the longest while. The offer, however, still coming in well below the $70 mark that Twitter had been trading at last year sometime. But having said that, you know, we've got commentary doing the rounds saying that if public markets don't value a company, an acquirer will. So let's talk beyond better terms and price tag. Do you see Musk being able to turn things around? A lot of people indicating that they believe Elon can create value at Twitter by cutting costs, improving the business model. Do you agree?
Well, I think, you know, if there's anyone you probably do want to back in the public markets, it's a guy like him, right? I mean, he has a bit of a Midas touch and, you know, whatever he seems to touch turns to gold. I think the one thing is, you know, about him is that he is a prolific user of the platform. You know, he has 84.5 million followers. You know, perhaps using it as much as he does, he sees both the potential and the stumbling blocks that Twitter has to offer. And clearly he has an idea that things could be done better. I mean, he said yesterday after the deal was announced that, you know, free speech is the bedrock of a functioning democracy and that Twitter is the digital town square of this democracy. And he probably thinks that, you know, things aren't being managed as well as they could be or should be. And I assume he has some ideas there to make things better. Obviously, at the end of the day, he's a businessman. I mean, he's put a lot of money into this business now, and I'm sure you would like to turn a profit. And as I said, I mean, yeah, you'd probably back him as the one guy to do it. I guess he's been given the thumbs up by Jack Dorsey, you know, the founder and previous CEO of Twitter as well, that, you know, he's the right guy for the job. So I guess let's see. Time will tell.
Absolutely. Do you see any, you know, past infringements and U.S. regulatory ghosts coming back to haunt him, you know, as we look to this deal being finalized?
Well, it's never impossible. You know, the one thing we've sort of learned in our journey as fund managers at Anbro is that, you know, sometimes, you know, the people that make the biggest difference in the world, good or bad, you know, tend to be a little bit different from the normal human being. You know, they're oftentimes mavericks. You know, they do things differently. Sometimes to do big things, you need to think a bit differently to, you know, the normal man in the street. And surely, you know, well, not surely, but evidence has shown that he has stepped on many toes in the past. And that's probably not going to change, you know, particularly now that he, in theory, you know, has the keys to the, you know, to the kingdom with regards to, you know, public discord on a platform like Twitter. But I guess, we'll have to see. That's another one, you know, that'll never sort of go away with a guy like this. He was never far from controversy, is he?
Absolutely. Well, Craig, as we watch this evolution track, you know, do you see it coming up against things like, you know, landmark fines under the EU's new content rules? I mean, this makes it a very tough regulatory environment for these tech players and social media platforms in particular to operate in.
Yes, it does, definitely. I think, you know, social media platforms have an enormous responsibility to society as a whole. You know, they, you know, something like Twitter, for example, is, and it's an amazing idea and an amazing concept. You know, if you think that people of any race, color or creed, you know, can share and express a view, thought or opinion, you know, in a single place and in real time. And obviously the management of information is something that is very important across social platforms. So if one looks at things like, you know, checking for the truthfulness and accuracy and credibility of information, I mean, that's important. And I think that's often come up, you know, with the big regulators as well, is, you know, they want to make sure that, you know, these platforms are used responsibly and not irresponsibly. I mean, there's lots of, you know, examples around Twitter and Facebook and, you know, Pinterest and, well, not Pinterest, rather, TikTok and, you know, these other places where, you know, you have bots that come out and they do nefarious things like trolling and propagating misinformation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something regulators obviously need to be on top of and want to be on top of. And I assume that, you know, this is not going to go away, but maybe this just takes it down a different path.
Absolutely. Well, what's your approach, Craig, to tech stocks at the moment? I mean, are you still finding value out there? Yesterday, we saw the NASDAQ propelled higher, finishing 1.3% to the good by its finish. And really, investors seemingly enthused by what they should be expecting or could be expecting as we've got these tech companies release their earnings reports during the course of this week.
Yes, well, I mean, the next couple of days are going to be pretty big, you know, from a tech earnings perspective. Some of the bigger names are coming out. I think, you know, when you look at markets and how they've behaved over the last few months, the tech stocks and growth stocks in particular have come down considerably. You know, something we've looked at the past is how, you know, you look at the growth that these businesses have delivered and businesses have delivered and their outlook for growth for, say, the next 5 or 10 years. And there certainly are an abundance of opportunities, you know, that have started appearing, you know, in that space. So, yes, I mean, the next batch of numbers are probably going to be quite important, you know, from a markets move on a day-to-day perspective. And, you know, the sentiment toward that space has been very negative of late. And, you know, better results or better than expected results might help that. But I think longer term, we think, you know, that's definitely still the space to be if one's looking for above average growth and, you know, companies that can really deliver exponential returns for shareholders.
Yeah, well, we've got, like you say, a slew of big US tech companies. The highlight on the corporate calendar stateside this week, Microsoft and Google are today, Facebook tomorrow, Apple and Amazon on Thursday. Let's leave it there, Craig. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this morning. Of course, that we had Craig Anthony of Anbro giving us his take on Twitter and the deal that Elon Musk has been able to strike.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
And that's a wrap for today. Unfortunately, we've been unable to get a hold of Martin Davis today to talk us through Deloitte's latest global automotive consumer study. We'll try and bring you that conversation a little later this week. But for now, that's where we leave things. The show brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Remember, we're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and app at 6:30 a.m. The podcast is available just after 7 a.m. Thanks to the team, Eddie Nobuhle Tesetso, for making this all smooth sailing today, my guests for joining us at daybreak, and to you, of course, for listening. I'm Alicia Sikkim. This is MoneyWeb Now, and we'll catch up again on Thursday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.